I seek blessings of all ascended devotees so I can glorify our Lord Shiva appropriately. Today, we are reading these three verses, 23, 24, 25. Here we see few verses before Daksha sacrifice got disturbed and many of them got badly beaten up by Lord Shiva's servants and Daksha got killed. And after that, all the demigods and sages assembled there. They thought what to do next and they took shelter of Lord Brahma. They approached Lord Brahma in order to rectify the situation and Lord Brahma advised them that we all should go to Lord Shiva and ask for forgiveness. So all the 11,000 sages are on the way to Lord Shiva's abode, Kailash. And they are observing the region of Kailash. And then later on we'll see Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma will glorify Lord Shiva. And he will be pacified and he will rectify the situation. He will bring back Daksha's life and all others who got injured there. They will be rejuvenated. So here, all these things started just because of Daksha's pride. We'll speak about tolerance a little bit later in the class. But the point is, if he would have tolerated, it was an insult in one sense, but still, if he wouldn't have said anything to curse Lord Shiva, then the situation would have been much better. He wouldn't have ended up into chaos afterwards, and he wouldn't have been killed later on. So that pride, Srila Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha mentions there are five obstacles to the pure devotional service. This can be referred in Guruji Prabhu's Unveiling His Lotus Feet. He has given commentary in this section. There are five impediments in to the pure devotional service. First one is called crookedness. So, what is crookedness? A person thinks something, he speaks something else, and he acts something differently. So, this is called crookedness. And classic example is Duryodhana. So, Duryodhana wanted to harm Pandavas and actually wanted to kill them so he can gain the kingdom. So it is said, what if one is crooked, Lord Krishna doesn't accept service from such person. And we saw in Mahabharata, when Krishna went there, Duryodhana offered very opulent and he invited Vasudev, Lord Krishna, to come and participate in lunch. But Krishna did not accept that. He bluntly said, because first of all, I am not hungry, and second is, you don't love me, so I won't come. And rather, he went to Vidura's place, and he just accepted bananas. Not your bananas, bananas, please. Because they are offered with love and devotion. So, this is the point. So, the first impediment is crookedness, according to Srila Jiva Goswami. And second, he mentions that faithlessness. Sometimes we doubt whether this thing will work. If I chant, will it help me? Or if I do devotional service, will it help me? In such and such a way, will it purify me? We doubt the process, even by acharyas. We doubt the process. So that is called faithlessness. Third one, he mentions, is attachment to the material things that can hamper our devotional service. This is another impediment. So we know that, okay, for example, if I eat non-offered food, that can hamper my devotional service. But still, we become attached to our taste of tongue, and we just eat something. But then that further puts us in body concept of life. It becomes an impediment in progress of devotional service. And the fourth point he mentions is the slackness in devotional service, that we become slack. Why should I get up from Narati, for example? You know, it's too hard, you know, it's too austere. Okay, once in a while is okay. So like that, you know, different aspects of devotional service, we become slack. And the fifth point he mentions, pride. We may do devotional service nicely, and by doing devotional service nicely, we sometimes become proud that I'm so nice. So that kind of pride also becomes impediment in devotional service. So these are the five points he mentioned that are impediments to pure devotional service. And he further explains what are the causes of these five impediments. And he said offenses are done to our lordships and Vaishnavas, either in this life or in previous lives. So the offenses performed in devotional life can bring all these different five kinds of impediments, and then further we can get implicated, you know, we won't progress in our devotional life. And amongst all the offenses, especially Vaishnava Aparadha is very dangerous. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions in his Leela, in a couple of examples. Once he went to Kuliagram, and there one Brahmana approached him, and he fell at his feet and asked for forgiveness. And he asked for forgiveness and he said, you know, I was always doubtful that how come in the age of Kali, this fallen age, just chanting the holy name loudly and dancing and glorifying the Lord through chanting this holy name will purify someone. How can that be? So I was always doubting. But now I can see by your grace that your whole Anadya Gram is becoming ecstatic in devotional service in chanting the holy name. So please forgive me, I have committed a lot of offenses. Then Lord replied to him that yes, you have drank a lot of poison, but the same poison can be counteracted by drinking the holy name, nectar of holy name. So just go up chanting the holy name and you will be alright. So like that exists. And another occasion when he was passing through village where Srinivas Acharya's house was. So those days Mahaprabhu during night he would perform Sankirtan in the house of Srinivas Acharya. And whole night he would chant and dance and sing loudly. And not everyone was allowed inside that house. So there was one Brahmana, smart Brahmana, who was envious. He wanted to come inside and see, but he wasn't allowed. So he was very much upset. And he would also criticize, what is this, you know, chanting only this and that. And in this age, you know, you don't chant holy name loudly. Lord Vishnu is reciting, he is resting in the Kandaksha ocean. And if you chant loudly, you will get disturbed and he will curse us. You know, he will cause disturbance to the human being. So it's not good. So he was criticizing like that. And he was so envious of Srivatsa Acharya that one day, to bring a bad name, to destroy his reputation, good reputation, he outside of his house in the middle of night, put some paraphernalia that is they use for worshipping Durga Devi. And in the morning he came and, you know, gathered all the people and, you know, started criticizing. See, all night he is doing such thing, you know, he is saying he is great Vaishnava, he worships Vishnu and this and that, but he is actually tantric, he worships Durga Devi and this and that. So he, like that, he tried to defame Shivasacharya. But Shivasacharya didn't take any action on that, and then he just accepted, okay, that's fine. But Mahaprabhu didn't like that. So once he was walking by, he saw one leper, one brahmana who became leper. And he was the same person basically who offended Shivasacharya. So leprosy is contagious. The whole village put him outside somewhere in the outskirts of that village. So he was living there. And then Mahaprabhu was passing by. So as soon as he saw Mahaprabhu, he asked for forgiveness. And then he repented that, I have done great mistake, please forgive me. So Lord Mahaprabhu said, I cannot help you in this way because you have offended great Vaishnava. So I cannot do anything. I'm helpless here. But then the Brahmana says, you are Mahavadanya, you are savior of all the fallen souls. So please, I am fallen, please save me also. And in fact, Mahaprabhu is Mahavadanya. He knew that Brahmana is residing there, you know. He is Lord himself. So why he would have passed through such place, first of all, if he wouldn't wanted to save that fallen Brahmana offender. So nonetheless, he passed through, and then, you know, meeting happened. And then Mahaprabhu said, okay, you have to go to Shivasacharya and then ask for forgiveness, and then you will be alright. So then that Brahmana went to Shivasacharya and asked for forgiveness, and he became cured. So Lord doesn't accept service no matter what we do. If we are offenders to the holy name, if we are offenders to Vaishnavas, and if we keep committing offenses, different kind of offenses, Lord does not accept service from us. So it is very, very crucial to avoid offending Vaishnavas especially. If we do things nicely, our sadhana for example, if we do nice sadhana and if we don't offend any devotee, our progress is very rapid. We are set to go to back to Godhead. Doesn't have to be very excellent in many aspects. For example, studying shastras or having deep designation and managing many different services and so forth. If you don't have those caliber capacity, it's fine. But everyone can have this attitude of respecting other Vaishnavas. Then all the devotees can do nice sadhana. Everyone can do that. And if we have other capacity, then it's a win-win situation. We can both. So, what is pride? Pride is basically ability, or one can say, it is pride is basically failing to see good qualities in others and seeing whatever qualities you have as the best. That I have very good qualities, I am such and such, you know, I am a great person. But other people, we fail to see those good qualities. That is basically pride. And to cure pride, it is recommended that we see good qualities in other devotees. That will help us. Humility, someone said that humility is not that you think less of yourself, but you think less about yourself. That is actually humility. So always with a proud person, always thinks of himself, you know, I am such and such person. I got, see, so much beauty, strength, reputation, wealth, so on and so forth. So he always thinking about himself. So to cure them such pride, it is advised that one should see good qualities in others. That will cure such bad mentality. And what is there to be proud of, if we think in one sense? There is nothing actually we possess that can be, that can give pride to us. There is nothing. Even we are able to move our hands, legs, and do our devotional service, and that's also devotional service. That is also given by Lord Himself. We should be so much privileged and grateful that our all the limbs are functioning very well. And if they are given by Lord. And if we become proud that, you know, see, I am doing so much great services, then what is the point? And then there will be false pride. First of all, it's not your thing. It has been given to use for Lord's service, and then also you become proud of the abilities given by someone else to you. So, the fact we are breathing, who provides this air, who pumps our heart, all these things actually, you see, everything is given to us to live and support our life, basically. And then we become proud of that, thinking that, you know, it's mine. So this is actually illusion. So there is nothing in the world that we possess and that can make us proud if we think deeply. There is one poet who glorifies a well, because that well provides a lot of water to the villagers. People come and take the water, they wash their clothes, they wash their utensils, they bathe with that water. And wells doesn't live forever, they dry up after some time. So this poet is glorifying that you may live for a long time. Why? Because see the ocean, you know, the ocean has a lot of water. But even thirsty person goes there and he is begging to the ocean that, you know, please give me some water. Ocean won't give. Because it's not useful, that person. In fact, that person will cry and give some water to ocean anyway. So, this poet is glorifying the well, that such a charitable person you are, you may live long. Although you have little bit thing in your position, but you know that is also given by a Lord, and then you are engaging that in service of others. So you are glorious. So Vaishnavas are like that. And fact is, the person who gives more, Lord provides that person even more, because he knows if I give that person more, he will utilize in proper way and he will give out to others. This is the nature of Vaishnava. And this brings joy. If we in material world, if we see, if someone has a lot of wealth, for example, then a materialistic person will get envious of such person. He will tell him, why I don't have that wealth? And he will make a way, and he will think that how can that wealth be diminished and then I get that wealth? You know, so it breaks envy within the heart. But in devotional service, it is completely different. When we see a wealthy Vaishnava, for example, and how he engages that wealth in service of the Lord brings a lot of joy, isn't it? So we can be inspired. Okay, if I get wealth, I will also do the same thing, for example. For example, we had a TOVP fundraising event recently. So devotees were giving generously, right? And seeing that, none of us were got envious. Oh, wow, he got so much wealth, you know. Why don't we? We became so much jubilant. Oh, wow, you know, he's serving so much. Nicely, he is engaging his Lakshmi in service of Krishna. So it brings joy, isn't it? I remember once Anil Prabhu was mentioning, time to time, you know, devotees come to him and give proposal that, you know, we should charge devotees for prasada, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We should charge devotees for prasada. in the temple. So Prabhu was mentioning.
Shantaya suggested that.
Yeah. So it's very beautiful philosophy actually. Prabhu replied that if we give more, in return we get more. And that's what happening. And then it's working. There are no many temples in the world, even in ISKCON, that follows this principle. We give so much prasadam free of cost, three times a day. Practically any time you come, there is prasadam. And we are not charging, we are giving for free. So actually Lord provides us that. And we are giving it back to the people. So Lord provides us more. So that's Prabhu's philosophy and it's Prabhu's instructions. Yeah. So it's beautifully working now, isn't it? So this is the principle. Vaishnavas are charitable. Vaishnavas are very benevolent. They always give to others rather than taking for themselves. And that is real justice. If you give me something, if you give me some money, for example, and in due course of time, if I don't return to you, it is injustice. But if I return to you in some form, the same money, if I return to you, that is called justice. So Lord has given a lot of things to us, and if we don't offer Him the same thing, what He has given to us, then we are not justiceful to Lord. So pure pride, this is the recommended thing, that we see good qualities in others and appreciate, and that's appropriately. The next point I wanted to mention about this word Srila Prabhupada mentions, Rati Karshita. Prabhupada mentions in the first line of the purport that it is understood that even the damsels of the heavenly planets are polluted by thoughts of sex enjoyment, and therefore they come in the airplanes to bathe in the rivers Nanda and Amrananda. And the next purport he mentions that after such enjoyment they become morose. So in the material world, mind, how mind works. If mind is threatened or mind sees fear, mind will immediately defend, go in a defensive mode. And if there is no threat or no fear, mind will go for sense gratification. And that's how this mind works. If you are threatened, then defend yourself. And if there is no threat, mind will naturally go to sense gratification. And we have seen, if there are a lot of comfort and convenience in our life, everything is going nicely, we tend to forget our purpose of life. And that's why Kunti Maharani says in Kunti Stuti, in the first canto, 8th chapter. She condemns, she says beauty, wealth, strength, opulence, all this can be very much an impediment in our devotional service. And on top of that, she says, please give me problems, give me difficulties. So in difficult time, it helps me to remember you. Because now Pandavas have gained the kingdom, we have everything, we have now this comfortable life, and I fear that I will forget you. And that's how mind works actually. If we are too much in comfort zone, we tend to forget worship of the Lord. And that's why austerity is required. Vaishnavas, especially, they take voluntarily different kind of austerities. So that helps to be more of goodness in then your prudence is very conducive to devotional service. In third canto, when Kardama Muni was performing tapasya for a long time, and his wife, Devahuti, was assisting him. And he says, after a long time, Kardama Muni observed that Devahuti has become very skinny, very, very weak. She lost her luster. And practically she was basically very unattractive. And she was going through also so much tapasya. And then Kardama Muni asked for benediction. So Devahuti mentions that you rejuvenate my body, palace and this and that, and all these things she asked. And she desired, she has a desire to have a child as well. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Devahuti thought that my husband is in mode of goodness. To bring him to mode of passion, you need all this paraphernalia. You know, you should have, if I am such a weakly and very skinny, you wouldn't have attraction for me to unite with me and have a child. If there is no luxury around me, the person in mode of goodness, how he will come to mode of passion to engage in such activity? So Prabhupada nicely explained. So this all this paraphernalia in the material world, all these things actually brings us to mode of passion and ignorance. So that's why Vaishnavas are especially voluntarily take austerities to wake up in the morning and do Mangalarti and whole morning program, chant no matter what happens, chant 16 rounds every day, follow four regular principles. These all are considered austerities, and that helps us to be in mode of goodness, and then from mode of goodness we can go to Sattva-bhum. And this is fact that Prabhupada once says, you know, sex enjoyment, sex is bad, whether illicit or licit, whether bona fide or unbona fide, both kind of sex are detrimental to spiritual life. And here in this purport, we can see, even themselves, it is of course, as a human being, there are different kind of vegas, vajra-vega, manasa-vega, pastha-vega, sudra-pastha-vega. Sex is also an urge, but it has to be channelized in proper way. The other significant word Prabhupada mentions is that Tirthpad. So these are two rivers, Nanda and Alaknanda. Alaknanda is Ganges. They were touched by Lord's lotus feet. So principle, this is the principle Prabhupada mentions, that whatever comes in touch with the Lord, it becomes purified and sanctified. Lord has different paraphernalia. Here we see Lord is wearing garland, beautiful ornaments, clothes, and during Aarti he has been offered different articles, flowers, water, fire, and then we take that as a prasad, and that same articles gets transformed into spiritual, it becomes spiritualized and becomes a medium of mercy, Lord's mercy. Prabhupada gives an example, just like a rod. So iron rod, when you put into fire, after some time, when it becomes red hot, that same red hot iron can act as a fire. There is no difference between that. So same way, the paraphernalia we use for Lord's service, when it comes in touch with Lord, through Lord's mercy, it transforms. And by accepting such remnants of the Lord, the Lord's prasad, in form of flowers or jhanamrit or food. It purifies our consciousness. And so much so, this is true for Vaishnavas also. So as I mentioned, Vaishnavas are also called Tirthpad. Lord paraphernalia in Sanskrit called Tadiya. Tadiya means paraphernalia. And one of the Tadiya is Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are also called Tadiya. So when Vaishnavas engage in pure devotional service, they also carry the same potency. Prabhupada mentions the verse from first canto. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani. So this verse was in glorification of none other than Vidura. Here also we hear Mighty Yakshatta, Vidura. Maitreya Muni is telling Vidura himself. So this verse, Tirthi kurvanti tirthani, was also in glorification of Vidura. He was traveling throughout India when there was battle going on, Kurukshetra battle. So Lord is on the battlefield, but Vidura didn't go where the Lord was, but rather he was going to different pilgrimage places and worshipping and seeing the Lord in every temple and doing his bhajan. So one can say, well, Lord is present on the earth, why doesn't he go and associate with the Lord? In fact, you know, he is very, very much dear to the Lord. Vidura was very dear to the Lord. So Lord wouldn't refuse to be with him and give him, you know, nice association. Of course he will be very happy. But why Vidura didn't go? Same that answer, this verse was spoken. Wherever devotees are performing devotional service, that place becomes purified, that place itself becomes Tirthi. Because Lord is residing in their heart, you know, and that same devotee becomes Tirthpad. He is also Tirthpad, because he is carrying Tirthpad within their heart. So, this is the understanding of word Tirthpad. Even in our temple, we see lot of nice devotees. They also carry that potency, and our lordships are also Tirthpad. I give a couple of examples from my personal experience. It's not that, you know, we have to go somewhere else, or we have to bring some great Vaishnavas so we can have benefit of their association. No, devotees are here in this Melbourne temple, and our lordships are also so potent. They reciprocate. I was in the beginning of my Krishna conscious days, I was struggling with particular anatha, and I came across that pastime where that devotee from Chaitanya Lila, I forgot his name, who would go to devotees' houses and give them mangoes. Yeah, and then afterwards he would take remnants of those eaten mangoes. And he would feel great happiness doing that. And Mahaprabhu, in fact, was so much pleased with him that Mahaprabhu would never allow anyone to wash his feet. But one day in Jagannath Puri temple, when Lord was about to enter, that devotee comes. Anyone remembers his name? That devotee comes and he strayed away when Mahaprabhu's lotus feet were being washed. He strayed away, put his arm under him and drank. And then Mahaprabhu didn't say anything. And he did for 3 times. And then Mahaprabhu said, that's enough. So Mahaprabhu never allowed anyone to do such thing. But he allowed it to that devotee because he was very much pleased of his attitude of taking remnants of each and every Vaishnava in the best way. So I heard that pastime and I did the same thing to one devotee, whom in my opinion he is such a sincere and very good devotee. And then afterwards that anatha was gone. And I never faced such problem. So here also, my dear Shuma, you know, we have such a nice association of devotees who are very pure and very exalted, very advanced. They are also beautiful, very beautiful devotees. and our lordships, they also reciprocated very nicely. A few years back, when the Janmashtami festival was happening, at that time I was in position of temple commander. So naturally, you know, a lot of service comes, and day after day, so many services. A whole day you fast, and then you look after so many departments, so many volunteers to handle. And it was very exhausting. Then next it was Friday, Prabhupada's appearance day, and then again a lot of services. And something happened that our company who picks up all the rubbish, that truck met with accident because the truck had their brake, its brake was not tested and it was failed. So government imposed kind of a restriction Australia-wide that their service was stopped. So they gave us notice that, you know, until we check all our trucks, we won't come to pick up the rubbish. And it was nightmare, you know. For the whole week they didn't come. And here all the rubbish was piling up after the Janmashtami Prabhupada's appearance, you know, in the car park, outside of in the lane, and the hired tick we had, it was also overflowing. It was just massive. And I was feeling so much panic how to deal with this. So much, you know, so much already 3-4 days continuous services. And I was just so much stress and so much anxiety. And then Saturday I picked up all the rubbish and threw it to our market van and then made 3 trips to rubbish tip. And then came back and I was just using hose and cleaning the car park. And I was, a lot of thoughts are going in my mind, you know, why I have to do this? So many things. There is no help. No one help. It's there. On and on and on. And cursing everyone and everything. And suddenly, magically, something happens. And I'm completely, in one moment of time, I'm just blissful. All the anxiety, all the stress, everything gone. And I'm jubilant. And I'm, the body is aching, that also gone. I want to sleep, that also gone. And everything just went away. I could see, I cannot describe what happened, but you know, the wave of mercy comes from the altar and you know, it just passed through and bathes the consciousness. Yeah? And everything is just vanquished. You know? So, this is the reciprocation I felt. So, this is the thought. This is our Lord who was very much merciful to his devotees. I never ever had any such experience again, you know. But yes, our devotees are like that, our lordships are like that. So no matter what happens, never ever give up on their lotus feet. Even, we can say, even Lord rejects us, for example. Still, we shouldn't stop our service. For example, Ram left Bharat and Shatrughna, their brothers. But they never stopped worshipping. In one sense, Krishna left Gokul, Vrindavan. He left all the gopis. The gopis never gave up their service to Krishna. So, even Lord gives up on us, we shouldn't give up his service. And actually, Lord never gives up on his devotees. He is actually very much, very much inclined to always remain in hearts of his devotees. In connection to the austerity and the same point, for example, Rukmani Devi, when she wrote the letter to Krishna, she mentions all these things. And then in the end, she mentions that if you don't come to take me, I will never allow Shishupal to touch me. And before that, I will commit suicide, I will die. And I am happy to take many, many births to gain you as my husband. I will perform many, many austerities in many, many births but I will not give up. And I'll accept you as your husband when you are pleased with him. So Lord Krishna, when he heard that, so here Rukmini was ready to go through austerity, life after life, to gain Krishna's association. So even Krishna gives up, she will not give up. Point is. And then when Krishna heard, Krishna replied to the Brahman that be assured that I am going to come and I will take away Rukmini. Because even I cannot sleep in the night, thinking of Rukmini every night, and I am also awake all night. So how much Lord is also concerned, when devotee is performing austerity, he is noting each and everything devotee is performing. We take a lot of effort and austerity. We get up from Amarat, we come, and we chant nicely and do services. So Krishna is making note of everything. He is making note of everything. This devotee is doing so much and he is going out of the way. I must reciprocate with him. Another example from Srimad Bhagavatam. King Muchukunda, he was sleeping in the cave, and when Kalyavana was chasing Krishna, Krishna entered in that cave. And then Kalyavana kicked Muchukunda, thinking that he is Krishna. So as soon as he got up, and this Muchukunda had boom from the demigod that whoever will disturb your sleep, at your first glance he will burn to ashes. And that's what happened. That Kalyavana just got burned to ashes. And then slowly Krishna comes in front of him. So Muchukunda Maharaj saw him and he couldn't recognize who is he. And he has seen all the demigods because he was previously fighting for all the demigods. So he knew what demigods look like. But this person's beauty is far excellent than those demigods. So he was a little bit perplexed and confused. Who is this person? Then he requested, may I know who are you? And then Lord Krishna replies that I am Vasudev, son of Vasudev. So Lord also refers, here another point, Lord refers, he is not saying, you know, I am Supreme Personal God, I am Krishna. No, he refers himself to his devotees, because Vasudev, King Vasudev was a very great king and his glories were spread everywhere. So everyone knew who Vasudev is, and he is referring to, you know, I am son of that great king Vasudev. So he is taking great pride in being son of his pure devotee. So he mentions like that. And then as soon as he heard, Muchukunda heard, Muchukunda Maharaj, then he pays obeisance, says, yes, oh, he is my worship of the Lord, Lord Narayan. But then he had another confusion. That, see, he asked Lord Krishna, great sages and great yogis, they perform austerities, they go through a lot of tapasya for life after life, for years, to gain your darshan, but still you never appear to them. But here, first of all, I was in mode of ignorance, I was sleeping, and I wasn't doing any kind of worship, I wasn't engaged in bhakti, I wasn't doing chanting or worshipping you, I wasn't doing any kind of sadhana or bhakti. Still, you came and gave me darshan. It perplexed me. What is this? Please explain me. Then Lord replied, although you have forgotten at this point of time and you were in the mode of ignorance right now, but you have performed abundance of devotional service previously. That's why I have come here. So the point is, you know, we may forget, and we may be in the situation that, you know, we will forget, for example, we are on our deathbed going through excruciating pain, we may forget. But Lord will never forget. And He will come and timely He will reciprocate with us. So that is why we say never ever give up Lord's association and service. Do our best in serving the Lord. So that is the meaning of the word Tirtha. I have a few more points, but I'd like to stop here. If anyone has any question, comment, please. Any correction?
tell about how if you can find a devotee and Lord doesn't accept your service.
Yes.
In the first sacrifice of Daksha, you know, Shivji was very offended, right? And he's one of the greatest, he's the greatest Vaishnava. So how come, I heard a lecture from Goa Vrindeshwar, he said that Vishnu, in the first sacrifice, Vishnu and all the devtas, they came and accepted the sacrifice. So how come in the first sacrifice, all of the devotees accepted the sacrifice?
No, that happens in the second sacrifice. After he got goat's body, goat's head, and then out of embarrassment he will commit suicide again. And then he will take birth again after few manvantars. He will again become Daksha and then he will perform yagya. So that time Lord himself will appear and give him darshan. So he has gone through rectification. And the yagya got disturbed, the current yagya, in that neither Lord Brahma nor Lord Vishnu went there.
But of the previous, the first one, the very first one, the very first yagya, Shivji was offended in the first yagya. But yes. Vishnu and all the devotees, they still came and accepted.
No, that yagya also was in performed. Any other question? Srimad Bhagavatam ki
Thank you.